the five great powers of life. The five great powers of life. That's Luke chapter 7, beginning with verse 11. Now, it happened on the day after that he went into a city called Nain. Many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. And the Lord saw her. He had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin. And those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he was dead, sat up, and began to speak. Don't you imagine folks kind of got excited about that point? He was dead, he sat up, and he began to speak. I thought I might have been a few folks running away at that moment. I just imagine. And he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him, speaking of Jesus, went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. This Bible record that we read in Luke's gospel tells about Christ raising this young man from the dead. If you look at the Bible, it tells us that Jesus raised three people from the dead. It's kind of interesting, as you look back, at least for me, as you look back, each one of them was in a different state of decay, if you would. You remember when he raised Lazarus from the dead, and he went to roll away the stone, his sister said to the Lord, "Lord, it's been 4 days, there's already stench." That body had been decaying pretty severely. And yet, despite that, the power of Jesus was so great that he brought him back alive and he walked out of that grave. Then Jared's daughter he raised back to life, but Jared's daughter had just died and he came and raised her back to life. And then this story about the widow's son, the one we've just read in our text this morning, he'd probably been dead only one day. Look at this scene that we've read in Scripture. Jesus is going to the city of Nain, and on the way, he meets this procession. It's a funeral procession. And a widow's only son had died, and now they're on the way to the cemetery. This poor mother had looked for one last time into the face of her son, and he was soon to be put away from sight forever. She would never see him again. The Bible clearly shows us that when someone suffered and Jesus was there, Jesus also suffered with them. When he was in the presence of sorrow, when he was in the presence of grief, he was touched by the sorrow and the grief and the heartbreak and the despair of those that he was around when he was on this earth. So seeing the situation, the Bible says that he goes up to the woman and said to her, "Don't weep." Now, the Scripture doesn't say this, but as I read that, I kind of imagine that she might have looked at him and thought, "Why shouldn't I weep? You're telling me don't cry. Why shouldn't I be crying? My son, my only son, and my only source of support is now gone. He's dead." But Jesus stopped the procession. He spoke to that dead son. He said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the young man rose up and began to talk, and how happy that mother must have been. Don't you know she began to just thank Jesus and hug him and praise him, and just with all of her heart, she was thankful. In this one simple, beautiful story, we see the five great powers of life. So I want you to look at with me today. And the first one, the first great power of life that we look at is the power of death. If you were to look at that young man and touch his face, you would have found it cold. Many times we've gone to funerals and perhaps we've touched the face of a loved one. It's cold because death has exercised its power over that individual just as it had this young man. And the power of death, by the way, it's universal. The Bible tells us that it's appointed unto man once to die. Death is no respecter of persons. It strikes down the important, and it strikes down the unimportant. It strikes the rich, and it strikes the poor. Many, many years ago, a man and a woman in one of our southern states were sentenced to hang. Both of them were sentenced to hang. From their cells, they could hear the carpenters building the gallows on which they were about to die. They both were under the sentence of death. But in a way, that's true for all of us, isn't it? For all of us, at some point, it's appointed unto man once to die. Someday death will lay its clammy hand on our shoulder. And it'll whisper in our ear, come with me, and we'll put aside all that we're doing, and we'll die. Though I'll tell you right now, I'm praying that that won't happen to me, that the rapture's going to happen before I die, and I'll still be alive, and we'll just have that meeting in the air, and we'll see Jesus, amen. Now that'd be great. I look forward to that. But the truth remains that the power of death is universal, and it's something that we all have to face at some point, unless Jesus tarries. We're helpless, all of us in this room, we're helpless against the power of death. The young man in the story we read in Luke's gospel, he lived in a town called Nain. The word Nain means lovely. But all the loveliness of this place where this young man lived couldn't hold back the hand of death. He was even young. He was a young man. But even his youth couldn't hold back the power of death over him. I don't know about you, but for most of Americans, we pile up a lot of things on this earth to try to keep us alive. We take a lot of medications, we take a lot of vitamins, we try to eat healthy and do the right thing. But the truth is that when the hour of death comes, all of those things don't matter at all. The Bible tells this story, you remember it well, the story in the Old Testament of Naomi. Naomi went with her family, and she went to the land of Moab. At that time, it was described as a land of plenty and prosperity. There was a great drought and famine in Israel at that time. But while she's there, she lost her husband, she lost her two sons, and she later returned to her old country. Do you remember what she said when she came back to her old country? She said, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Lord has dealt bitterly with me." She came back and she sounds like she's a pretty unhappy person, doesn't she? She lived in a land of plenty, Moab, where there was plenty, supposedly. And yet the Lord was there and was with her, but death came. It came to her husband. It came to both of her sons, her loved ones. They were helpless against it. History tells us of the story of many years ago, many, many years ago, when one of the queens of England was dying. She was facing death, and she made famous this quote. She cried out, "Millions for an inch of time." But all the millions in the world couldn't buy time for that queen, nor they could buy time for anyone else. When death comes, a lot of times we like to say, "Well, wait just a minute." But we know death doesn't wait. We're helpless before it. Unfortunately, we also know that death can strike. We don't like to think about this, but it's true. We know it's true. Death can strike when we least expect it. We've all heard of stories when somebody was reasonably healthy and suddenly they left this earth. We were surprised by it. A man and his wife were sitting in their living room one night. And the wife said, "Listen to this." And she began to read an article in the newspaper to him. And as she got through reading it, she looked up and said, "You didn't hear me. You must have gone to sleep." So she got up and went over to her husband to shake him. And when she did, she realized he was dead. He had died right there while she was reading the article to him from the newspaper. Death is a great power. Death is a great power. God help us to recognize this truth and to prepare for it by trusting totally in Jesus. Amen. We have to prepare for it. We don't have to face it with fear. We don't have to face it with uncertainty because of the promises of God in the Word of God. Look at this first one with me in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 14. "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who've fallen asleep." That means they've died. lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we believe that in this church, don't we? If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep, and the ones that are dead in Jesus. That's the hope we have today from the Word of God. There's another great verse. I love this next verse in 1 Corinthians 15 and 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. What is that verse saying? It's more than just this life. It's more than just about today. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That word is telling us that, yes, Christ is with us here now today. He's our Savior. We feel His presence, His love. We thank God for the ministry of Jesus in this life. But it's so much more than just this life. Oh, it's the hope of heaven. It's the promise of all of eternity. Yes, the power of death is very real. But for you and me as a believer in Jesus Christ, it's not the end of the story, is it? It's just the beginning. It's the beginning of eternity with our loved ones and our friends because we've known Jesus as our Savior. So with this first great power of life is the power of death. The second one we look at this morning is the power of love. Now, in our story, this mother, this widow, was crying and weeping because of the love that she felt for her son. Love. You think about love for just a minute. Love is the greatest power on earth. It was great enough. It was so great to bring God's Son to die. For the verse says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You know, scientists can make bombs that'll destroy an entire city, but the power of love is greater than that. You take a man, you take a fellow that's a wicked sinner. People rebuke him. They talk about how bad he is. They talk about how mean the guy is, and yet he still doesn't change. Then one day, someone comes into this man's life who loves him, who shows him love. And shows him the love of our Heavenly Father, shows him the love of Jesus, and his life is transformed by that love. Oh, love can do that. Love lightens the burdens of our lives. The wife at home that's with the family, with the children at home, she doesn't have to feel the burdens are too heavy as long as she knows that she's loved and that she's appreciated. That's true for all of us, isn't it? We're loved and we're appreciated. A person that's toiling all day on a tough job to provide for their family, they don't mind it if they know, if they realize that their family members and those at home appreciate him or her for what they're doing for the family. Love is just undying power. You know, the Bible speaks of faith, hope, and love. You've read that scripture before. But it tells us that love is the greatest of these things. The greatest. One day faith will turn to sight, won't it? One day hope will change into joyful reality, and only love will remain according to the Word of God. You know, sometimes we're faced with situations where people are unkind or they're mean to us or they say things that hurt us. And the truth is that there's probably not a person in this room that hadn't had one of those moments where we felt the unkindness or the meanness of some person that we thought we were close to. And in the flesh, our initial reaction is just to react out of anger. We want to go straighten them out and get a hold of them and tell them that they're wrong. But the Bible tells us there's another way, doesn't it? The Bible tells us that we can go to that person in love. We can express in love to them our concerns, what's on our heart. Isn't that always the best way? It's always the best way when we can do it in love. Oh, praise God. So we've looked at these two first great powers, the power of death, the power of love. The third one is the power of tears. Tears can move us to compassion. I don't know about you, but if I see somebody crying, it always really touches my heart. Now, if Sherry starts crying, I will do anything to stop those tears. I will. And she knows that, but I have to brag on her. She's never tried to take advantage of me because of that. She could, though. I tell you, she could. Tears in this story, the tears of a mother moved Jesus as he came beside that dead son. The Bible tells us that Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus, that he wept over the city of Jerusalem, that he wept when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, that he also wept at other times because of tears of compassion for those around him in need. I think as a Christian that it's also a good thing for us to weep. It's a good thing for us to weep. There's times in our lives that our brokenness and our tears can lead to a heart and to a spirit in that brokenness and tears that can respond to the things of God, that can respond to the things that God is trying to teach us and trying to show us. And sometimes it's only in that brokenness, in that humbling moment of tears, that God can reach in and we pay attention and we hear that voice and we respond to Him. Tears also have great power, I believe, in soul winning. They do. If you go to somebody cold and mechanical without feeling and you're wanting to share Jesus with them, and you don't have no emotion or no feeling at all, I think it's very difficult to win folks to Christ that way. We must show a sense of compassion and concern for those that we witness to. The Bible tells us that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goes forth and weeps, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. I love that. Bringing his sheaves with him. That's Psalm 125, 5 and 6. Oh, we're sowing in tears is what it's saying. But we're going to eventually rejoice. How many of you have sown in tears for those that you're praying for? How many of you sown in tears for those children and grandchildren and family members that you're interceding on their behalf to pray for them? Oh, but the Bible is a great promise that we've just read that shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Hallelujah, what a promise that is for us. When Paul was writing to a group of folks that he had been ministering to, he said, I wept over you night and day for 3 years. That's a lot of weeping, isn't it? There was a great Scottish preacher. His name was Robert Murray McShane. And he died when he was only 30 years old. Later, a man visited his church, and he asked the church caretaker to tell him the secret of this young man's preaching power. The caretaker paused for a moment, and he said, you know, when Reverend McShane came to the pulpit, the very first thing he would do would be to put his head down on that big pulpit Bible, and he would begin to weep. Then he would stand, and then he would preach. This young man won thousands to Jesus through his tears. Oh, the power of tears are so important. Then the fourth power we look at is the power of prayer. I'm sure the widow that had her son die, that in the story that we read, I'm sure she had prayed for this son. I'm sure she had been praying to God to help this boy. Fact is, God answered the prayers. Now, He did it in a most unique and in special way, because He answered her prayers by sending His Son, Jesus, and Jesus spoke a miracle over that dead boy, and he came back to life. I can imagine that mother never imagined that God was going to answer prayer that way. I'm telling you, when we're praying in Jesus' name and in faith, we are setting in motion things and events that God can do in the most unimaginable, incredible ways that we could ever imagine. Faith can do that when we have that faith. There's great power in prayer. You know, we've said it many times, it changes things. It changes people. Moses, you look at the life of Moses and his example. He had a tremendous task in front of him. And every time there was a difficulty, even a small difficulty, the Bible shows us that he went to God in prayer. You remember the story when Israel pleaded with Samuel to pray for them. And Samuel responded and said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Think about what Samuel said. For him, it was a sin if he stopped praying for those folks in need. When a king passed a proclamation saying that it was illegal to pray, you remember how Daniel responded. He paid no attention to it. He kept on praying as he always had. When David was pursued by his enemies, he prayed and he said, "The Lord," he said, "my times are in your hands." That's like saying, whatever happens to me, whatever my life is, God, I am in your hands. I'm trusting you. Can you say that today? When you pray, can you say, "God, my life is in your hands. I'm trusting you." I love the story of Hezekiah. He prayed. His enemies were at the gate of the city. The enemy sent him this letter. It was a very insulting and threatening letter. You remember what Hezekiah did? He spread that letter before the Lord. He began to pray. He said, "God, look at this. Look at this." And God answered in a mighty, miraculous way. John the Baptist prayed. Peter prayed. Paul said, "Pray without ceasing." We know he was a man of prayer. Can I tell you, Jesus was a man of prayer? Think about him as our example for just a moment. The example that Jesus gave us, he prayed from the cradle to the grave. He prayed after he was baptized by John in the water. He prayed for 40 days in the wilderness. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed on the cross when his enemies were killing him. He was praying, "Father, forgive them." Look at the Bible promises when it comes to prayer this morning. Jeremiah 33:3, you know this verse, "Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Matthew 7:7, "Ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you." Do y'all believe these words today? Amen, praise God. Matthew 7:11, "If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them who ask Him." Oh, how much more does God want to bless and help us? John 14:14, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." This next one on Matthew 18:19, "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Prayer is still great power today. It's not just for the Bible folks. It's for you and me today. Once a railroad magazine had a picture of an engineer on his front cover. And under the picture were the words, "55 years without an accident." Somebody asked the railroad engineer, he said, "Well, what's your secret? How could you go 55 years as the engineer of this train never have an accident?" And he said, "Before every trip, I would kneel in the cabin of my engine and pray for myself and pray for my passengers. Prayer makes a difference." And finally, we look at these five powers, the five great powers of life. We save the best for last because it's the power of Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus had compassion for this young man's mother. He stopped the procession. He commanded the young man to rise and he came back to life. He came back to life and he began to speak and he was restored. He was restored to his mother. Now, it's a great event, isn't it? It's an event that shows the incredible power of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Bible repeatedly shows His power in examples through the New Testament. For example, look at this list with me for a moment. When He appeared, the demons fled before Him. They were glad to get away from Him and His power, so they were okay with being drowned into the sea. He had power in His voice. He went to the temple and the money changers quivered before His voice. He spoke to the raging storm, just His voice speaking to that storm. It became still. He had power in His hands. He laid them on broken bodies. Sick, broken bodies, and they were made whole. He laid them on eyes and they could see. He laid them on the dead and they could come back to life. There was great power in the presence of Jesus. He said, "All power is given unto me." And it is. He has the power to save. He still has the power to heal. He still has the power to intervene in the lives of those you're praying for. He still has the power to break through hearts that are cold and distant from God and become broken and tender-hearted and come back to Jesus. If the foulest human being on the face of this earth were to come to Jesus in sincere repentance and faith, Christ would forgive him and he would make him a new creation in Christ. Just think about that. If the worst person on the earth came to Christ in sincere repentance, Jesus would let that grace flow from the heaven and forgiveness would fill that man's soul and he'd be born again and be part of the family of God. Christ conquered death. He conquered death for himself as he laid in that grave, and he conquered it for you and for me because the grave will not hold us. There's a resurrection day coming for those who have died that are in the graves. At that moment, in the twinkling of an eye, oh, they're coming out of that grave, amen, in that new glorified bodies. Someday he's going to come with a shout, our Savior will. He'll come with a shout with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet will blow. If we've trusted in Christ, if we know Christ as our Savior, we have that promise that we'll be taken up to be with Him. We'll be taken home to heaven, amen, to the home that Christ prepared for us. The five great powers of life impact everyone in this room. Though death is certain if Jesus should tarry, for you and me, if we're trusting Jesus, there's no fear in death, is there? There's no fear, for the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. Amen? Oh, how could there be fear in that? The power of tears, the power of love, the power of prayer to touch lives in so many wonderful ways if our hearts remain committed to our Savior. And finally, the power of Christ. The power of Christ can see you whatever you're going through today. The power of Christ is enough to strengthen you and lift your spirit and lift your heart and remind you how precious you are to God and that He's with you. The power of Christ is for us here now, today, and tomorrow, and no matter what we face, His power is enough for us. There was a young boy that stuttered just terribly. He finally started school, and all the boys teased him because of his stuttering. He was greatly embarrassed, and he didn't even want to go back to school, but his mother made him go back, and he would have given anything if somehow he could have been cured of the stuttering because of the humiliation he faced daily. One day, a very kind teacher in his school asked him if he would stay after school. She wanted to meet with him, and he said he would. And when he met with the teacher, she told him, she said, "I would like to help you with your speech. It'll take working daily. Would you be willing to work with me and I help you?" And the boy was so excited, he said, "Oh yes, I'll do whatever I can." She was so grateful. So this teacher toiled with this young boy day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year in this young boy's life. And finally, the day came when he didn't stutter at all. In fact, he became a very gifted speaker. He went to Philadelphia, and in the course of his life, get this, this young boy became president of a school for speech. He taught senators and great men of America how to speak effectively in public. One day, a telegram came to him telling him that this dear old teacher had died. And he hurried home and he asked for the privilege of sitting up by her casket. And he sat there all night. And several times during the night he would begin to weep and cry. As he looked back at the days and weeks and months and years that this woman gave of herself to help him to come over that terrible problem that he had. And often during the night, he would put his arms around the casket with tears running down his face, looking up to God, he would give thanks to the one that had helped him so much. But I tell you this morning, Jesus, he's done more than that for you and me. He's died on the cross to give us eternal life. He's blessed us all along the way of this life. Has he blessed you? Oh, he's blessed us all along the way of this life. And he's prepared a home for us in glory. Let us love him. Oh, let us love him with all of our hearts. Let us be thankful to him. Let us be thankful for Calvary. Let us be thankful for the cross. It's the most incredible act of love anyone has ever given us. And Jesus did that because of his love for you. Oh, may the Holy Spirit touch our hearts and our lives and help us to turn our backs on the things of this world. I need that help a lot. I don't know about you. May the Holy Spirit help us to turn our back on the things of this world, all the distractions and all the nonsense that mean nothing, so that we can serve him today with all of our heart, and we'll know that we'll spend eternity with our Savior. Oh, what great hope we have. Amen. What great hope we have. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Thank you, Jesus. We thank you today. The power of this simple story in the Gospel of Luke. We thank you for the meaning it has for us and the lesson that it gives all of us today. Father, let us look back in our hearts and just thank you for all those times, for all those moments that you were there for us, that you helped us, that you're with us here now today, meeting every need. Thank you, Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye still closed, if you're here today, and you know Christ is your Savior, but you're going through a really challenging, hard time. And you're just so desperate to feel the touch and the power and the love and the help of God in your life. And just simply lift your hand. I won't embarrass you anyone. Just lift your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. I really need prayer today. Would you just lift your hand if that's your need? Yes, amen. Yes, I see those hands. Oh, Father, I pray for these dear ones that are so desperate to hear from heaven. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, minister to these hearts. Lift them, encourage them, strengthen them. Let hope arise. Let faith arise. May your Holy Spirit just fill them again with the power of God and the hope of Christ. May they walk in faith with an assurance that only can come from you. Father, let it be in Jesus' name, meet every need. And in faith, we thank you in advance and we praise you for your work in these hearts and lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.